Well, when we talk about alcohol problems in Australia, we tend to concentrate on younger people. Well, that's what you hear about, isn't it? You only have to look at the controversy, I guess, over lockout laws to see that, and the panic about the drink till you drop behaviour or attitude that some young people have. But all of that seems to be hiding a major problem with drinking and drugs in Australia, and that's according to a new report in the British Medical Journal that shows an increasing problem with the alcohol consumption in the over 50s, the baby boomers. And it's not only booze, there's also concerns about the use of and abuse of prescription drugs and illegal drugs such as cannabis. In fact, in relation to alcohol specifically, the researchers found that overall there is a decline in alcohol abuse in Australia, except for older Australians. Professor Steve Allsop is from the National Drug Research Institute at Curtin University. He joins us on the line now. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, good day.
Well, look, to many of us, this would be a bit of a surprise, not necessarily to someone, I guess, who works in the research area such as yourself.
It's a phenomenon that's been coming for some time, and it's really influenced by two major factors. One is, of course, as we've frequently heard, that we're an ageing population. Many developed countries in the world, the population's getting older, and just to give some sense of the, you know, how large this is, if you go from 2000 and project up to 2050, within Australia, there'll be a 300% increase in the number of Australians over the age of 65. Mm. So even if levels of harm remained constant, and consumption, of course, and harm, you would see a big increase in demand within our services, just in terms of the sheer numbers. But the other phenomenon is that the baby boomers, and I'll point out that I'm certainly one of those, I can make the statement that God created few perfect heads and the rest he covered with hair, and I can make that statement with some authority.
Yeah, so could I.
But there, we take our drinking and drug-using histories with us, and the baby boomers have been among some of the heaviest drinkers within Australia. Historically. And again, just to give a sense of this, if you look at an 80-year-old woman in, say, 1990, her drinking history from when she was a young woman would have been very different from what the drinking history might be of an 80-year-old woman in 10, 15 years' time. So what you've done as a young person, you might cut back your drinking, but nevertheless, this particular cohort of older people in the 50s and 60s and sometimes in their 70s are drinking much more than their predecessors were.
Now, is it a matter of what the drug of choice is? In other words, obviously, if you were a baby boomer when you were younger, you wouldn't be having ice or those sorts of drugs. Is that maybe some of the logic behind this?
To some extent, but going on from the point that you made at the opening, we are seeing people in their 40s and 50s who are dependent on ice turn up in our drug treatment services. Now, the development of drug dependence can sometimes take many years, so people are bringing a long-term history with them. So the idea, and certainly when I started working in the drug field many, many years ago, it really was, you know, people in the drug treatment services tended to be the sort of, if you like, the stereotypical 18 to 25, 30-year-olds.
Right.
You didn't see many people over the age of 30. Now we're seeing quite a lot of people in our drug treatment services with problems with ice, with problems with cannabis, who are in their 50s and 60s. And in fact, in the last few years, I've been increasingly contacted by people working in the aged care services concerned about drug use in their client group. Now, alcohol is still one of the main problems that can arise in these settings, but nevertheless, other drug use. So, look, one anecdote from my own experience. I live near a retirement village. Some people have said this is good forward thinking for the next few years.
Yeah.
I was walking past one of the cottages a little while ago, and there was a blast of Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, coming out through the windows, and the distinctive smell of marijuana. And you know, and I thought, yeah, there's a sign of what's happening.
Yeah, that's a wake up call for many of us, isn't it? The fact that what was young and cool is now in an aged care facility. I'm talking about the cultural aspect here.
Yeah. So look, lots of people as they get older, lots of us when we're 18, 20, 25, we maybe some of us drink too much, some of us might have dabbled with illicit drugs. And a lot of people, when they get to 25, 30, 35, they start cutting that back. Mm. But nevertheless, there's still a significant proportion of people who continue. And so we're now seeing drug treatment services needing to learn to respond more effectively to these issues with older patients and recognize that, you know, you might have been used to working with 18, 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds, bouncing around the walls. Now we're seeing people in drug treatment services with osteoporosis, with acquired brain injury that's occurred because of nutritional deficiencies from alcohol and drug use or from injuries, you know, in violence or accidents. And so this is a relatively new increasing phenomenon in the drug services. And as I said, aged care facilities are now seeing patients who, or some of their clients, have got long-term use.
Well, that's an interesting point here because, look, many people will have this attitude to those who overindulge in drugs that, look, providing they're only hurting themselves, it doesn't really matter. But the reality is, as with younger people and worrying about unsocial behaviour on our streets, there is also, with older people, a wider effect, I guess, on community and infrastructure, isn't there?
Well, there certainly can be. And look, I think you know, in terms of alcohol, you know, I think from a human perspective, we can all understand the sort of sentiment, I've worked hard all my life, I'm going to relax now, I'm going to enjoy a few drinks. The problem is often that's done in private settings, and a standard drink in a private setting is, if you see my Shiraz glasses, you'll know that they can be sometimes a little larger than intended, so people might have two or three drinks, but it might be five or six standard drinks. And the problem is we know what low-risk drinking roughly is from 18 to 65-year-olds, but over 65, we're not so sure. Mm. And it's complicated because as your body ages, your ability to cope with alcohol diminishes, you have less body water, so you may well get far more intoxicated from the same amount of alcohol that you were previously drinking. And there is the real risk of accidents and injuries. And, of course, if you're 18 and you fall over, there's risk, but you sort of bounce back up. What? If you're 65 and fall over, you might be more likely to break your bones. And in fact, if you look at admissions into emergency departments and hospitals, the second most common group after young people for alcohol-related injuries is those over 65.
Well, also, I've heard the statistics before. I can't recall them straight off the top of my head, but I know the prognosis, for example, of recovering from a broken hip is not particularly good. So if that was the outcome to do with alcohol abuse, it's not a pretty future, is it?
Look, as someone who had an injury, I will point out it was not an alcohol-related injury where I did actually break my hip. It is pretty hard to recover. You know, so we don't want that happening. So, again, we don't want to be moralistic and say no fun, no enjoyment. It's about saying, well, look, alcohol is a drug and it has the potential for harm. As you get older, the consequences may be much greater. So we need to treat it with a bit more respect. And then the other thing that I think complicates matters in relation to this, in relation to alcohol, is, of course, a lot of older people might have ailments where they're on medication or where alcohol is contraindicated. It's going to make your condition worse. So that can complicate matters, or it may mean that your medication isn't going to work as effectively. And then, again, you touched on this at the beginning of the program, a lot of developed countries are seeing increases in pharmaceutical drug misuse. So largely things like pain medications and anxiety or depression medication, but particularly pain medication. Now, part of this is related to we have an aging population. Mm-hmm. And generally, pain is well managed, but sometimes it's not, and people become dependent on pharmaceuticals. And whilst they might not think of themselves as similar and needing similar responses to people who are affected by other drug use, they become dependent. We see doctor shopping, and we can see absolutely catastrophic consequences if people have a fall or the overdose.
Okay. Well, as I said, it's well and truly worth highlighting the fact, because as I said at the beginning there, I think people often think alcohol abuse is a younger person's problem. And as you've highlighted in this research highlights, definitely not the case. We've got to leave it there for now, but thanks so much for your time.
You're very welcome.